money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Hey, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, your one-stop shop for Wizards news and analysis 5 days a week. The NBA All-Star Weekend just wrapped up with a thrilling finish to the All-Star game between Steph and Curry's team. Stephen LeBron. LeBron won by three in what happened to be a heated final couple of moments. So tonight, we're going to be talking about Bradley Beal's performance at the All-Star game. And the three-point contest. Unfortunately, he couldn't get it out of the first round there. Had a big night in the All-Star, his first All-Star showing, though, 14 points. We're also going to be talking about some of the key improvements and key storylines for the Wizards heading into their last 25 games of the season. And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about this potential idea to spice up the All-Star game a little bit with a 3-on-3 elimination-type bracket instead of the traditional 5-on-5 they've done. So here to join me and break down all of the news over the past weekend and what we've got in store for the rest of the Wizards season, we've got Wizards Extra reporter Bryna Kramer. What's going on, Bryna?
What's going on, Noah? Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm down near your hometown a little closer. I'm in Richmond for the weekend. What's the name of your hometown again?
Danville. So okay. Yeah, you're about 2.5 hours away.
Not that close, actually. So. Yeah. Bradley Beal dropped 14. He was shooting pretty hot. Did you like his inaugural All-Star game performance this evening?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did great. I mean, I don't really know what I expected from him just because, you know, especially if it's a close game, the reserves don't necessarily always play as much. I mean, you're trying to get everyone a little bit of time. But I thought he was, I mean, besides LeBron, he was the most consistent performer on Team LeBron. I mean, he had a really good game. I was really surprised.
Yeah, he was playing kind of, it seemed like some plays he was ready to catch and shoot. Other plays he maybe seemed a little bit more reluctant to just kind of take the shots he takes for the Wizards where he gets open off the screen and just pulls up for three. But ultimately, he had a good shooting night. He had a steal, too, and seemed like he was playing pretty aggressively. I'm trying to see if he was the second leading scorer.
I think he was. And I mean, you know, especially because, you know, we'll talk a little bit about his performance on Saturday night, but, like, every time he checked into the game tonight, you know, he really wasted no time, and, you know, he made an impact every little moment. I mean, he didn't play, I think he played, like,
17 minutes, I believe.
Yeah.
So not
that much. Like
that.
So, yeah, that's not that much. So, like, the fact that he ended the night with, like, 14 points, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. So the leading scorers for LeBron's team were LeBron with 29, KD with 19. And then Paul George had 16, but he and Andre Drummond were tied for the most after that. Beal shot 5 of 10 with 4 three-pointers. Sorry?
I said KD had that much. It didn't seem like that.
Yeah, he was scoring kind of quietly when, like, Kyrie was kind of going on his spurt at the end of the game to force that comeback for Team LeBron. A lot of his assists were to KD.
Yeah, I mean, and Bradley Beal, apparently, I'm looking on Twitter right now, shot 50%, so that's pretty
right.
Good.
4 of 8 from downtown, too. Yeah, definitely not a bad start. Definitely better than his three-point contest performance where, I mean, he hit 15, which isn't bad, but how close was he? I think he only beat Paul George, is that right, in the first round?
No, he beat Paul George and Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
Yeah, very lackluster after he made it to the finals in 2014.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I was reading, you know, he said something to Candace Buckner from Washington Post about, you know, he's like, well, maybe I overpractice. And, I mean, I think that kind of, you know, I'd read a couple things, too, from other players. I mean, I was reading something last night about Devin Booker had made a quote that he had said the same thing when he went in the first time in 2015, 2016. that he thought he had overpracticed then, and so for this round, he didn't practice at all. Like, he didn't practice going into last night, and then he ended up winning. So, like, maybe that does have something to do with it. I don't know, but...
Yeah, so Booker hit...
it was kind of lackluster.
Booker had a record 28 in his final round. And what's the most you can get? There's one rec that's all money balls. Is it out of, like, 36 or something? I know it's higher than 30.
Yeah, it's definitely... So there's 25...
Maybe 40? Ball.
No. Yeah, I want to say 40.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, though. Yeah. But yeah, 20, I mean, 28 is the highest that you can, the highest that they've ever had. So that was pretty impressive.
Mm. So Bradley Beal had a lackluster performance. He didn't really do too much in the three-point contest, but really had a strong showing in his first All-Star game. And it seemed like the pace of that game and the, you know, the defensive effort, even though it kind of faded in and out, but by, like, the fourth quarter, it was... It was pretty heated between LeBron and Embiid, and then, of course, like, Irving was going right at Curry back and forth, and Harden was kind of trying to prove his MVP status at the end of the game. The team Curry was down by three with, like, 10 seconds to go, and Harden attempted that game-winning three but couldn't hit it. And then the final possession, Curry and who did he find in the corner? But they couldn't even get a shot off, so, of course, it's an exhibition.
Yeah.
So yeah, what did you think of the energy?
I thought the energy was really good. I mean, we were just talking about it just very briefly. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought, I don't know whether it was really the format or the charity aspect or whatever it was that kind of pushed them to be more competitive. But I definitely felt like this was the most competitive game we had had in definitely a couple of years.
Well, thanks for the All-Star recap analysis. Not a bad showing for Bradley Beal for his first time. Could have done better in three-point contest, of course. But we're about to take a quick break and talk more about the keys to the Wizards' second, not second half, but maybe the final 25 games of the season. They're still battling injuries, so we'll talk about what the big storylines are there. So stay tuned to the Locked On Wizards podcast, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm your host, Noah Getzel, and I'm here with Bryna Kramer from Wizards Extra. You can find her on Twitter, BrynaK13. Is that right? At BrynaK13?
Yep, that's right.
Cool. So, All-Star break is over. The Wizards get a few days off. It's Sunday night. Their next game is against the defending Eastern champions, Cleveland Cavaliers, with their new look on Thursday. And the Wizards have quite a tough stretch throughout the rest of February and into March. So for me, I think health and the small rotation that the Wizards have been playing with and whether they make any roster moves is kind of going to be the two key focal points for the team the rest of this regular season. And then another thing is just the team's mentality and focus, because they've been all over the map this year in terms of, you know, playing up for the Rockets and the Celtics and, you know, taking care of business there and then having some awful games against teams like the Nets and the Suns and the Mavericks and LA Lakers. So what do you think the Wizards need to focus on most for the remainder of this regular season?
You actually took my two key points of the ones I had written down were, yeah, no, it's fine. I had written down health, and I had written down, similar to mentality, I had written down just, you know, like, focus on one game at a time. Because I feel like, especially, like, with health, I mean, hopefully, like, John Wall obviously is out for, I think it's another, I think he's not expected to be back till, like, mid-end of March. So we still have at least another couple weeks without him. And then, you know, Tim Frazier had surgery on his broken nose the other week. I know we were missing a couple people for illness in the Knicks game. And so, yeah, I just think health is really important. I mean, it's going to be important to make a push. And so you're going to want to give it all you got. But, like, at the same time, like, sacrificing that for health is not important. So that was, health was a big one for me. But also, I think the most important one, even maybe beyond health, especially for the Wizards, is really taking it one game at a time. Because, like you said, they have a tendency to kind of be like, oh, well, we can look past these next couple of games until we get to, like, the Warriors game next week. Well, no, like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really just the mentality and looking, every single game at this point matters.
Right. There's only 400-something NBA players in the league, and if you're going to take the night off that your opponents definitely aren't. So there's been far too many games where the Wizards fall behind, you know, allow like a 30-something point first quarter and just come out slow, stuck in molasses out of the gate or out of the second half. And they've been blowing leads and, you know, not taking care of the wins that a perennial playoff team should be winning. So we'll see what happens. Right. They've been playing a lot better recently with the higher sense of urgency with Wall being out due to injury. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of Wizards team shows up for the rest of this incredibly difficult schedule. They've got the Cavs and then I believe the Sixers and Golden State Warriors, the next three opponents, at least at the Capital One Arena. So we'll stay tuned to check out how the Wizards do. Of course, Wizards Extra and Locked On Wizards will be giving you post-game analysis, in-game tweets, post-game interview videos, and podcasts to, you know, fill all of your needs for as a fan. And we're going to come right back to talk about our last segment, which is the potential to even continue to improve the All-Star format. Not a lot of people are watching Friday night, so we'll see what kind of options there are to make things a little more exciting. And there was a ESPN article today talking about like a 3-on-3 cup, World Cup of 3-on-3, with also 24 players that we'll talk about in just a sec here on Locked On Wizards. Be right back. We are back with the final segment of today's Locked On Wizards podcast, and there was more urgency in the All-Star break, All-Star festivities, especially this final game here Sunday night. But we're going to explore options to make it perhaps a little bit even more exciting. I'm Noah Getzel, and I'm here with Bryna Kramer. And what do you think of the potential of doing a 3-on-3 tournament instead of one 5-on-5 game for this, replacing our current format that we've had for the All-Star game and kind of adding a little wrinkle, because instead of just drafting one team, you'll have, I don't know, 6 to 8 captains who pick 3-on-3 teams. It was a idea raised by a couple of big ESPN reporters, Ramona Shelbourne, Kelvin Pelton, Brian Windhorst, Jackie McMullen. They wrote an article about, you know, ways to rejuvenate the All-Star weekend. And what did you think of this 3-on-3 tournament idea, Bryna?
Liked it. I mean, when you sent that to me, I think I'd heard a couple different NBA reporters talk about the idea, but I think the way that they fleshed it out in that article really kind of made sense. But I think because of the success that you could call tonight's game, I think that implementing a 3-on-3 tournament wouldn't be, at least for a couple more seasons, because mm-hmm. I think they're really going to focus on now, like, okay, well, this worked this year, so how can we make it a little bit better next year, make, like, minor improvements? I think they're going to really go for televising the draft next year, or right. Even if they don't televise it, they're going to go, a lot of players were throwing out the idea, of picking, like, either at Saturday practice or at Sunday right before the game, you know, drafting literally, like, at half court, like, going true playground style. So I think that would be kind of the next step, and seeing how that would then maybe improve the game before we would move on to a 3-on-3 tournament. But I think it's a cool idea. And if they don't want to maybe necessarily make that the, All-Star game itself, well, then maybe you could do something with players who aren't necessarily All-Stars, but, like, players who maybe got snubbed or something like that on Friday night. Like, maybe you could just have, like, a 3-on-3, like, mini tournament, like, something to add to Friday night to replace, I don't know, the Celebrity Game or Rising Stars, or make right. the Rising Stars game a 3-on-3 tournament. Like, I think the idea of a 3-on-3 tournament is cool, especially because the Rising Stars game, I mean, I only got to see a little bit of it, yeah. but, like, it was such a blowout. I mean, it was, like, 155 world to, like, 120-something USA in the end. Mm-hmm. So, like, why can't you take that and make that a 3-on-3 tournament? Yeah, like, I think cool. that would be cool.
A series of games are definitely more exciting because once you get to, I don't know, that 20-point threshold or whatever it is, people just tune out unless there's a big comeback. So if you did, you know, all games that were, 10-minute halves with a 5-minute break at halftime or something, you could get in 3 or 4 of those games. Let's see, if there were 24 people playing, say you have 8 teams of 3, you could get right. in, 4 of those preliminary games on Friday night. Of course, you couldn't see the championship till, I don't know, Sunday after the Saturday's festivities with the 3-point contest. And slam dunk competition. And they were raising the potential issue of injuries, so they mentioned maybe, like, just four teams of four, so you have a substitute just in case something were to go wrong. And that's an option, but it makes it a little bit trickier for a three-on-three cup when you get to the final day, because which team would get a bye? If you have, you know, three games on the first day, and then there are just two games that have to be played for the championship, but you don't, you know, you want to make sure that, like, if you have the one, two, and three seeds remaining, if two and three play, like, they'd be, the winner would be at a disadvantage unless there's some sort of a break, maybe the celebrity game, or would you want to see perhaps the dunk champion and three-point champion going one-on-one? Dunk champion can only dunk, three-point shooter cannot shoot within three-point arc? Not your cup of tea.
You know, no, I don't think that one's exciting, but yeah, I just think they're definitely, for Friday night especially, like, I think there needs to be, like, especially after the success of tonight, like, I think tonight the game is a little, like, it's okay for right now.
Yeah,
just televised. Friday night needs the most help, because right. Friday night is not fun. Like, I'm always, like, I'll, like, won't make plans during All-Star Weekend, but, like, if I'm going to make plans on a night during All-Star Weekend, I'm making plans on Friday night, because I really could care less about Friday night. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, because, like, you know, I love All-Star Weekend, and I love watching it all, and I don't like watching Friday night.
No doubt. One other news agenda in the NBA is that there's a potential of doing more of, like, a tournament-style playoff series, and instead of eight teams from the East and Western Conferences making it, Adam Silver kind of hinted at the, you know, openness to just do a 16 best teams in the league, best records in the league make it, and they have luxurious enough travel systems in place now with all the private jets to, you know, mm-hmm. make it easy enough to just fly across the country. Who do you think that system would benefit, and are you a fan of switching things up to just make sure the best 16 teams make it, regardless of conference?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a fan of switching it up. In terms of who it benefits, I mean, I think it benefits, I mean, I don't know, I think it could benefit everyone. I think mm-hmm. if you have the best 16 teams in the playoffs, then, like, it's going to benefit mainly, I mean, the fans, because, like, then they're going to get the most exciting basketball from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, because usually the first round, like, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of series that are blowouts, and, like, it's just four games, and it's 4-0, and you're out, like, and that's it. So hopefully if they were to eliminate and it was just the top 16 teams, and regardless of conference, and, you know, it would eliminate blowouts in the first round.
It also helps the regular season out a little bit, because you're no longer just on cruise control if you win your conference, right? Unless you have
right.
a crazy, like, Golden State Warriors type year where they win 73 games. Like, there's a good chance that every matchup will really matter, and so it could matter from a bunch of different perspectives. But say you are the number two team in the East or number one team in the East, but, like, there's still someone really close in the West, and it can determine if you're the second seed or, like, the fifth seed in this entire standing. So, you know, like, every game of the regular season would play a bigger role because you're competing against more teams for that playoff positioning. So that could be exciting, and I think it just makes it, it adds, you know, it adds a new element to the playoffs that have been stale, and you kind of just know, okay, the Cavs are going to make it from the East, the Warriors are obviously going to make, like, at least the Western Conference Finals in the West. So this kind of, you know, the same way that the All-Star game switched up, and it's, like, it's not the same format, but of course it's not all Eastern and Western teams who are advancing and getting to those final rounds of the NBA playoffs. So that could be pretty cool. And
yeah, and sorry to cut you off, but no, yeah, and I don't know whether this is a benefit or not, or whether I like this or not, but I think it's also being interesting because, like, for this year, for example, in the Western Conference, you really have this, like, dogfight after kind of the top three teams. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many teams tied with, like, basically, I don't remember the exact number off my head, but, like, the records are so close between, like, the number four seed and the number 10 seed, like, in the West. And I think then in that case, it would kind of, it would eliminate that, you know, us paying such close attention to that race. But I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing or whatever, but I mean, it would eliminate kind of that race for the eighth seed that we always talk about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And then, like, you, they would get rid of one banner too, because you still have your division champs and you just wouldn't have like an Eastern Conference champion or Western Conference champion. There's just the world championship, world champion, and that's all you have left to fight for. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they could add some other sorts of competitions and challenges and leagues throughout the rest of the season and tournaments, because I know like Adam Silver is a huge fan of how they do it in like the European Champions soccer. League in soccer. Yeah. So I know they have like ongoing different sorts of competitions, with one thing, the, you know, the Euro Cup being the biggest of them all. So we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, I just don't think the schedule allows for that right now. Like, mm-hmm. 82 games, they're already trying to spread it out for more of the calendar year in order to allow more rest. So I don't think they're going to go – I think that'd be cool, but I don't think they're going to go there unless they cut back on the number of games. And I don't think they're going to cut back on the number of games until – you know, because then, like, the players' union would have such a fit because of the money. And I just don't think they're going to do that. So, I mean, maybe not right now, at least. So I don't see that stuff happening just because of the sheer schedule of the NBA season.
Yeah, it's a dogfight. It's enduring enough. There's enough injuries, no doubt about it. All right, yeah. Brianna. Well, I appreciate you having you on the Locked On Wizards podcast, and I'll be seeing you at Capital One Arena shortly.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
Cool. Well, have a good night. Hope you all enjoyed All-Star Weekend, and we hope to see a healthy Wall Beal and potentially some other Wizards back there next year.